There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
1207 FM Talk 106.5, and let's get started. Midday Mobile live on this Tuesday. Think about this. A week out from Fat Tuesday, 2 weeks out from Super Tuesday. So it's a Super Fat Tuesday. The next couple weeks, obviously, going to be very busy around here as we get ready for election. And we're going to do some Alabama Senate, Republican primary Alabama Senate talk in the second half of this hour. A little bit more of what we did this morning with some of the ads that are running out there and a breakdown of who is... Okay, if you're scoring at this point, and I think this is fair, I'm taking this from... Paul Gattis put this up in this form over on Twitter, Paul Gattis with AL.com. And I think this is accurate. In his timeline here, you have Byrne attacks Sessions and Tuberville. Sessions attacked Byrne and Tuberville. Tuberville attacked Sessions and Byrne. I think we're correct with that timeline. We'll talk about that as the gloves are off, as we have just 2 weeks now till Super Tuesday in the Senate Republican primary. So we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Also, Bloomberg proving that absolutely money has no difference when it comes to today's politics. It makes no difference Bloomberg has now bought his way into second place among Democrats in a new poll out there. We'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. And in hour number two, a candidate for AL1 for the House, Wes Lambert, joins us, and we'll talk about that. And then also, just going to give you a little snippet, a little taste here of this just went down, Mobile City Council meeting, and it sounds like the state needs to have a new driver's license office moved east because Councilman Fred Richardson is really upset with the fact that to get the real ID or the star ID when that comes up, you will have to drive. Well, here he is.
Okay.
I have a question, though. If your license is to be renewed under, right, you know, your calendar time, will you automatically get a star if you present the information at the same time? No.
No.
So no matter what, you have to come in for
That's
the
right.
extra.
You got to go to Demetropolis.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Davis, thank you for the public service announcement. And I think we need to continue to make it as we get closer to the deadline.
And I don't know if we have any media.
Oh, yeah, you got Steve around. Alexander.
It'd be great if y'all would mention this.
Thank you, Steve, and all y'all do. Mr. Mack. Thank you.
John Sharp.
My buddy John. Dale's gone.
All right. Here comes Councilman.
Get the word out.
Here comes Councilman.
So, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
Why are we going to send everybody to Demetropolis?
So what now?
I'm saying.
Turn it back on, Steve, real quick.
Way out west. What about the east side of the city? What about the citizens on the east side of the city? 200,000. We got 100,000 citizens on the east side, and we got to go way to Demetropolis, almost in the county, to get our star on our driver's license.
So there's a little bit of what Councilman Richardson said. I just want to levy this at this point. Then, Councilman Richardson, we have another 100-something thousand citizens of Mobile that have to go the whole way downtown to watch the moon pie drop. So just want to point that out. All right, let's go to Montgomery now, and it's time to check in with District 105 Representative Chip Brown. I know it is a busy day in Montgomery, and thanks for carving out a couple minutes for us. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. Glad to be with you.
Good to have you, and I won't have you react to the location of the driver's license office. I'll keep you out of that melee. You're in plenty of that going on, although you could say there are things that should be located in District 105, right? You could say, why isn't that in 105?
That is absolutely right. the driver's license thing, I have a son that's getting his permit tomorrow, as a matter of fact, so he's got to go out to Dimitropolis to get it.
It's not fair. It's not right. It is not right. It's a burden on the citizen. Although, if you'd have told me when I was getting a permit or my driver's license, I had to drive to Schenectady, New York, to get it. I said, "Mom, Dad, let's go. Driver's license, let's go."
That is absolutely right. I've got a 15-year-old that's been chomping at the bit since he was about five, wanting to drive. So
I know the
that
feeling.
That day has come, finally.
Well, just a lot of patience, breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth, right?
That's right.
All right, let's talk about that same kind of calming effect. Probably need that in session in Montgomery right now. I do want to check up on some legislation that you brought, a bill that you filed. We've talked about Anaya's Law. And it's now going to be a committee meeting this week.
That's right. It's House Bill 81, and it's Anaya's Law, and it's bond reform, which I brought this last year, and it passed the House 92-3, and it just hit around in the Senate and died due to lack of time. And what it does is it allows a district attorney, if someone is brought in and charged with a Class A felony, which would be murder, rape, kidnapping, your violent felonies, it allows a district attorney to request an evidentiary hearing in front of a judge and request that person be held without bond because they're deemed an imminent threat to the community, to themselves, or a flight risk, and they could request that from a judge. The judge could grant the hearing and deny bond if you so choose to do, and then keep that person off the streets pending trial. And why that's important and why we named it Anaya's Law is that Anaya Blanchard was the young college student who was kidnapped and murdered in the fall. She was a student at Southern Union and outside of Auburn, and stopped at a convenience store and was kidnapped and murdered. And the person that's charged with that kidnapping and murder had 2 months prior been charged with a attempted murder, kidnapping, and first degree assault and robbery. And he was out on $280,000 bond because currently in Alabama, the only way you can hold someone without bond is if they're charged with capital murder. So,
and that's
so
what
this has the potential to save some lives.
And that case, I mean, that would just leave people shocked that the exact same thing that he was out on bond for is what the crime he committed against Anaya Blanchard. But explain to folks exactly, because I mean, when I first heard you talking about this, till you gave me some of the facts, I said, isn't this going to be a Sixth Amendment violation?
Well, it's under the Eighth Amendment, you're guaranteed a right to bond. And but the way that this is worded, it's not a mandatory. It's not mandatory that judges hold people without bond. So even actually the way that it's worded now in the Alabama Constitution is that under capital murder, that's the only crime that someone could be held without bond, but it's not mandatory. And occasionally that does actually happen where someone will be charged with a capital murder and they get out on bond. So I've had numerous constitutional scholars, governor's office, the attorney general's office, they all feel like we're very much on solid Eighth Amendment grounds that we're, and that's the thing, we want to be locked tight and solid so that when those constitutional challenges come, which they will, the ACLU, those groups will definitely file lawsuits against the bill. And what the way this works is a constitutional amendment, so it has to go to the vote of the people, and that'll happen next November. We get it out this session.
Right,
so,
it will be. It'll be a CA. I think it has popular support from people I've heard, and obviously I have to talk to folks in law enforcement that are behind this. So I know it has their support as well, and it is good that you're open-eyed that this will be challenged. But I think what is basically the key to it that it's not compulsory to the judge. It is just an option for the judge.
That's right, and actually judges. I've spoken with numerous judges that are supportive of this because they're often caught in a situation where they know that that guy shouldn't get back out on the street, that if he does, there's going to be another violent crime. There's a propensity to have another violent crime occur, and they have to let him out, you know? I mean, so they feel like, most of the ones that I've spoken with, feel like that this is an opportunity for those specific occasions that someone needs to be held without getting back on the street, that they'll have the ability to do that.
So. All right. So that is in committee tomorrow, and it sounds like something you don't have an issue with, even over in the Senate. You have people very interested in voting for this in the Senate.
They are. David Sessions, Senator David Sessions from Grand Bay, is helping me in that once it gets to the Senate with it, and he has a companion version in the Senate. So I feel pretty good. We can get it out of the House and we get it to the Senate. I think I like our chances this year of getting it out and getting it on the ballot in November. Really do.
All right. I've got to talk to you about another bill here, and this is, this is District 105's wheelhouse, but it's a national story as well. It's a terrorism bill, but dealing with infrastructure. I mean, basically, let me the way I understand it, and you can correct me, it's keeping people off natural gas rigs?
Well, it's HB 36, which what it does is determines what's critical infrastructure, and what we're dealing with are pipelines. In House District 105, we have a couple of pipelines.
Sure.
We have probably 90% of the state's natural gas are off of House District 105, either in the Bay or in the Gulf, off of Dauphin Island. And it also includes coal mining and power plants and those sort of things. But it deals with unauthorized use of drones and trespassing, and it's done with intent. If you have to show that the person had intent to cause harm or did cause harm to the structure, and we have pipelines in District 105 that supply a good portion of the natural gas on the east coast of the U.S. So it's critical that we protect those and that we deter people from causing harm to our natural gas rigs, our mines, and our pipelines. So what we have is it's a bill that determines what is authorized use or authorized entry, let's say, and authorized use of drones and unauthorized use of drones, and creates penalties for you have to look at what would be the obvious cause would usually be terrorism, either environmental or from a national security standpoint.
Although I would argue not that I had any experience with it ever in my lifetime, but maybe it gets you in a better position to catch a fish. I'm just, not...
Well, you're fine there. It wouldn't do anything with that. This strictly deals with, I'm the same way, Sean. I like to tie up to the rigs and fish, and you'd still be able to do that. It wouldn't have any impact at all on that. This is just strictly dealing with people that, are committing a crime with intent. People that are looking to cause harm, to disrupt the flow of natural gas, or you have issues with mining up in around Birmingham, that sort of thing, or our pipelines. So it's just a way to try to protect our critical infrastructure.
All right. A couple more, just quickly, I know you got to go, but any movement on Lotto, any Lotto discussion going on? I mean, after the governor calling for this study group, is that just shut everything down?
I don't think so. I, many of us look at it as two separate issues. I mean, you have the compact issue dealing with the Porch Creek Indians and dealing with casino gaming, and then you have the lottery issue. And the governor in her call to create the task force to study the issue included the lottery, but there's a good... I feel like we've been studying the lottery since the 80s. I mean,
preach.
You know,
preach.
I mean, come on. I mean, you know, I remember when Florida got the lottery, I think I was in a junior in high school.
You and maybe. I both, yes.
And, and so, I mean, I don't know what we really need to study on the lottery. The other one is a much more complex issue, and I understand that. So I did co-sponsor Steve Klaus's lottery bill this year, and I think there's a shot that we need to get that out and let the people vote on it. That's just my opinion. I mean, we're surrounded by states that play the lottery, and I want to give people that option if that's what they so choose. And I think that there is a possibility that there might be a go-around on it.
So you're saying there's a chance. Happens. You're saying I have a chance.
I'm saying you, Sean Sullivan, have a chance to play Powerball, hopefully.
Good, that's good. All right.
That's my hope. We give you the opportunity to vote on it next November. So.
Yes, because I think it's – I'll say things. Just share this around Montgomery if you all didn't already know it. All the discussion of where the money goes to and the intricacies and nuance of this are important to certain groups in Alabama and folks on Goat Hill. But you stop down at the store. You and I stop down in District 105. We're going to stop and just ask people if they care. They just want to vote on having a lottery. I don't think they really – most people care why. They just want the lottery.
Well, and, you know, most people, I think, feel like I do, and that is, you know, people have been playing the lottery for years. They've just been playing it in other states, and we've been paying for the education systems in Mississippi, Florida, Louisiana, Georgia, Tennessee, all the surrounding states, and we need to keep some of that money or keep all that money, I mean, at home. So I'm hopeful, Sean. I really am.
All right. That's good. I'll check back with you on that. If you're just joining us, talking to Representative Chip Brown, District 105. One last thing here, because I want you to talk about this, which might be the most contentious bill that you'll work with in this session. You're moving to make it official that, Dolphin Island Sea Lab, the aquarium down there, is the official aquarium of Alabama?
I am. We actually, last year, we passed a House joint resolution that said that the Dolphin Island Sea Lab was the official aquarium of Alabama, but resolutions are only good for 4 years. So we're coming back this year with a bill that will establish the Dolphin Island Sea Lab, if it passes, which I'm hopeful for that it will establish the Dolphin Island Sea Lab as the official aquarium and aquatic research center of Alabama. And, you know, that's important because it helps the Sea Lab get grants. And it helps from a marketing standpoint of being able to say that you're the official aquarium of Alabama. And you know, they have, if you go down there, every college in Alabama is represented. They all send students down there to study marine biology. And so it really is the official aquarium of Alabama. And so we just want to, you know, codify that in law and make sure that it's truly official, that they are the Alabama's aquarium, and it's a great place. You know, this will just help get a little more money and some more people to go down there.
Good deal. We'll check back with you soon. I know you got meetings starting up very soon. District 105 Representative Chip Brown, thanks for being on with us today.
Hey, thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. Y'all have a great day.
Will do. All right, coming back, we'll grab some phone calls at 343-0106. Plus, on the way, the story of Mardi Gras, the Moon Pie Minute heading your way right here on Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5. Glad y'all are here. Lots to do on today's show. We'll talk to you next, too. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1229 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I'll run a little late. That's okay, though. We'll make it up here after the news break, and we'll check in with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Oh, yeah, let me answer the birthday girl, Superbomb, on the text line. Happy birthday. But she was, she said, isn't the permit place closed on Wednesdays? Then she asked, is this an old interview? I am shocked to say that. Hurt my feelings. The two things. So on Wednesdays, the DMV, like Dick Matranga's office, that closes. There's also the other part of this where the complaint that came from Councilman Fred Richardson is about the state DMV office, and we're going to do this in a show to come. This star, it came off of the star ID. Have you heard the discussion of star ID that we're going to have if you're going to clear TSA and all that? It's like our regular old driver's license, which I'm trying to play this game because mine is up in 2020. It's my renewal year, but I'm not till like December. But you're going to have to get this star ID, but you're not going to be able to go to the Dick Matranga office, as I call it. You're going to have to go to the state driver's license office, the one that is, in the words of Councilman Richardson, so far away from anybody east of 65. We'll talk about that and what this star driver's license is when we get back, plus reviewing the gloves-off Senate race going on right now.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. The phone number, text line, same thing, but love to hear your voice as well. 343-0106, 343-0106. That's how you call this show or any of the other shows. We're live 7 days a week around here. Imagine that. Got a chance to call in every day. 343-0106. Segment of the show brought to you by Stamps.com. Postage rates have gone up again. Thankfully, Stamps.com eases the pain with big discounts off post office retail rates. With Stamps.com, you save 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off shipping rates. That kind of savings really adds up, especially for small businesses. Plus, Stamps.com is completely online, which saves you time. No more inconvenient trips to the post office. And Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. So whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller shipping out products, even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com handles that with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it to. And once your mail is ready, you just hand it to your mail carrier or drop it in the mailbox. It's that simple. Stamps.com is a no-brainer. Saves you time, saves you money, and it's no wonder 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. And right now, y'all can get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale with no long-term commitment. Here's what you do. Go to Stamps.com, and when you're there, you click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in my first name, Sean. Spelled the fast way, S-E-A-N. That's Stamps.com, and when you're there, make sure to use the code Sean, S-E-A-N. All right, I'll get to a text in a second, a couple of these texts in a second, but I do want to kind of circle back around on this store ID. And this is something that we talked about maybe as early as last summer, but it's time to revisit this, and we'll do it in a long form coming up sometime between now, and I think the deadline is October. But the store ID... Okay, star ID is what's going to be required going forward if you want to clear TSA. And this cycles back to why I was the discussion about the driver's license office from Superbomb's question. You can't get this star ID by going like the normal place. If I was getting driver's license for me, I'd be going over on Michael Boulevard, right? Michael and Azalea, that one that's closest to me. But you can't do that to get the star ID. It has to be the ALEA driver's license office, so the Alabama Law Enforcement Association driver's license office, so the state one, right? So that's the one you have to go to be able to get this star ID. And star ID is going to be what you need going forward, getting on the airplane, and quite a few other things. Actually, they say the star ID, the acronym is for Secure, Trusted, and Reliable. Star ID is part of a nationwide effort to improve the integrity and security of state-issued driver's licenses and identification cards, which in turn will help fight terrorism and reduce fraud, and probably make it tougher for underage kids to get 12-pack of beer. I'm guessing. It says, why was the star ID developed? In response to acts of terrorism committed against the United States and in an effort to ensure the safety of the citizens, Congress passed the Real ID Act of 2005, modifying federal laws pertaining to security, authentication, and issuance procedure standards for state driver's licenses and identification cards. In order to comply with the requirements for this federal legislation, the Alabama Department of Public Safety has developed the STAR ID program. We're just 14 years late. But we're on it now. Yes, Alabama actually began the STAR ID pilot project in Central Alabama, October 3rd of 2011, in the driver's license examining offices in Montgomery, Autauga, and Chilton counties, and began issuing STAR ID statewide in 2012. Now, here are the questions that probably you and I both have. Do I need to get a new license now if I intend to use a commercial airline or enter certain regulated federal facilities? That could be like courthouses and all that. It says beginning October 1st, 2020, okay, so October 1st this year, all domestic flights will require flyers to hold a STAR ID or possess a passport. So if you don't have your passport, you got to have a STAR ID. And then you can go to TSA if you're looking at some of the exceptions there. Also, what IDs do you need to bring with you when you apply for a STAR ID? You will need documents to establish your identity, date of birth, authorized presence in the United States, and the address of principal residence. And I'll put this link up on the Twitter feed. Dalton, we can put it on Facebook as well. So documents to verify the identity and date of birth would be a valid unexpired U.S. passport, an original or certified copy of your birth certificate, a consular report of birth abroad, a certificate of naturalization issued by Department of Homeland Security, or a certificate of citizenship issued by the DHS. Okay, so then there's a whole bunch of other things for non-citizens. We'll let you read up on those. But it says both citizens and non-citizens need to bring your Social Security card and two documents that show your principal residence. It says, will the new card look different? No, expected changes to be minor. STAR ID will have a gold star in the upper left corner to make them easily recognizable as Real ID compliant. Will I be able to have both a STAR ID driver's license and a STAR ID identification card? It says, no, the final rule specifies that each individual can hold either a STAR ID driver's license or a STAR ID identification card, but not both. And it said, here's the one I was asking about. Can I get my STAR ID licenses and ID cards before the expiration date on my current license or ID card? Yes, but you will have to pay for a duplicate. Now, that's the thing that gets me. Right? So, I'm December of 2020, then I got to renew. And I'm close enough to that October, but I might be flying in between those times. I might have to go somewhere. So I'm going to have to pay for a duplicate, even though I'm compelled to do this by law. But I have to pay for a duplicate. Now, I don't know. Somebody's asking me how much. I don't know. I don't know how much it is. And the STAR ID is not going to be available, like we were saying earlier, at county probate office or license commissioner. The STAR IDs are only available at the ALEA driver's license examining offices, and the closest one is that one on Demetropolis that caused the complaint from Councilman Fred Richardson about how far he had to travel. Which, by the way, I mean, Dan said something about that earlier on the text line. He said, I hear you, Fred. Hey, Sean, the man's got a point. You don't have to, you ain't got to go watch the moon pie, but you got to go get that tag taken care of, or that ID. But I'm just saying, for Councilman Richardson to complain about the distance there, well, the same thing would be true from somebody in the Demetropolis area who would love to enjoy the moon pie drop, right? So there's, oh, you know what, we come back, this is good. Joshua got his took his driver's license test at the same place I did when I was a boy. If you're in Mobile, you probably took yours there as well. If you're a child of the 80s, for sure, maybe even the 70s. Talk about that. Talk about some of these ads out and in the Senate race. And we'll also shift gears to AL1 when Wes Lambert joins us coming up after 1 o'clock. It's all straight ahead. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
With more rain in the forecast, Dr. Bill has more rain in the forecast. I don't know if you've been following We talked about it on the morning show a couple times about how flooded our rivers are. I know the lot of attention paid to the Pearl River flooding over in Jackson. That's a real thing. Jackson, Mississippi. But here, we don't have as many homes that are at risk for that kind of flooding. Storm surge flooding gets a lot more, but not as much on the riverside. Although I posted some pictures up on Twitter of our little place up on the Tombigbee River and what the water looked like last year when it was crested about 2.5 feet lower than where they're projecting the crest this year. So, yeah, we're worried. We're worried about this. It's pretty high coming down the river, and we're getting more rain today, more rain through the week, says Dr. Bill. And, of course, it's really the rain that comes north of the dams, areas a good bit to our north that affect our flood. The localized rain can add a little bit to it, but that's not a big deal. What we're watching is rain north of the Coffeyville Dam, north of the Claiborne Dam. And there's a few showers out there right now, but Dr. Bill says expect this to build. I know I see some North Alabama covered up, and that's bad. That's a lot of it in the Tenton drainage and a little bit in the Alabama drainage right now, but that's supposed to continue off and on throughout the week. I saw a story they put up here because we were talking yesterday about the flood issues for folks who live along Biosera. And I know they closed down the launch at Saraland. I don't know if Steel Creek closed down as well, but because of the flooding. And then I saw a story, I don't know who had it up a second ago, flooding in North Baldwin County. Folks along the river there that are getting... Listen, most people have a place like ours along the river. We're on stilts. I mean, most people elevate their properties, but it can still get high enough that it causes issues there. Plus, if you live there full-time, I mean, you know, what a pain to get in and out of your home. It's a normal thing along the river, but this is a pretty darn high river. And actually, one of the if the crest goes where they're saying for the Mobile River, it'll be, I think, the sixth highest ever since they recorded it at the Barry Steam Plant reading on the Mobile River. So we're keeping our eyes on this. It's not as many people as affected like in Jackson, Mississippi, or places like that. So I don't want to say they're equivalent. But it is a real issue, and we're watching it. And more rain coming, that's going to be a problem for quite a few more people. So we'll give you updates daily on that. All right, through your text here, and a lot to talk about. First of all, thank you. A lot of y'all know the Star ID stuff quite well. Although somebody here, unnamed texter, says, Sean, you can go to Chatham on Tuesdays and get your Star ID up there. Cool, I like to go to Chatham. So I can go up there, I can go to Bertil's. Go to Bertil's and get a big Bama cheeseburger combo, unsweet tea, and I can go get my ID. I like that, unnamed texter. Tony at Robertsdale says, the Star ID thing really stinks for me because I was born abroad in Germany and I have to file all kind of paperwork to get a birth certificate. Yeah, Tony, if you go through and look at if you'll search Star ID in Alabama and go to the website the state has up, it talks about what you have to do. I did see that section. I didn't get into it because it didn't affect that many people. Probably, but it's in there, and it talks about, yeah, you got to have some paperwork. Unnamed texter here. Too many unnamed texters. Come on. Just give yourself a nickname, first name, something like that, so I can refer to you by something other than unnamed texter. There's only one person on our text line that has the official name unnamed texter. None of y'all can. I'm not going to do the second and the third and junior and all that. So give yourself some kind of nickname. This unnamed texter says, I got my Star ID at my 2016 renewal. It's been around for years before. Doesn't anybody pay attention to the news? I don't know. It's kind of my job. Maybe I'm falling down on it. We've talked about the Star ID for quite a while. I just, the little nuance there that bothered me was the issue around me being a December renewal and October 1st being the deadline. Now, this texter says, I was told if you renew 6 months or closer to the expiration date of your current license, you will not need to renew twice. Hooray. And that says, in your case, July 1st will work. That's good. That's good. Good news. But believe me, we're going to do this in long form coming up soon. Get somebody on from Aaliyah to talk about this, and we can get all your questions answered then. Our friend, the Gamecock Girl, how's South Carolina looking for this year? Gamecock Girl, how you feel about your football team? You want to text that in too? She said that I moved here 6 years ago, got my license right away, had to renew in 2 years ago, and now we'll have to get my third license in 6 years. It isn't about the distance, it's about the hours I'll be giving up to get this done. By the way, you will Yeah, you will be able to fly with your passport if you don't have the star ID. That is correct. I read that in there. But I'm thinking, you know, Gamecock Girl, for like folks that don't travel, you know, outside the country, who don't have a passport, they'll have to have the star ID to travel. And to be frank with you, you know, if I can avoid pulling the passport out of the Mike Ward's Liberty safe at the house and carrying it with me, I'd rather not have to carry the passport with me. That's a, if you, if that gets stolen or lost, that's a big deal. Let's see here. Okay, texture says, Sean, it's only the initial star ID. When you renew, go to any place they issue driver's license just to be renewed. Yes. Okay, so this texture is saying that once you have the star ID, then you will be able to renew it at, I guess, the probate office or the license commissioner's office. But yeah, you've got to get the you got to get the first one, right? You got to get the first one, and that's the, where you have to go to the ALEA office. So don't get confused that you could go down. Like my normal reaction from where we are at Airport and 65 at our studios here in Mobile, I would go down to Michael and Azalea, right? Go over to Nick Petranga's office over there. But that's no good to get my first star ID. So there you go. Right. Oh yeah, people commenting on the school thing. We'll try to get that in a second. Adam asking, caught the tail end of the star ID comments. Where on the Eastern Shore do you get? Do you go and do you have to get in line with those taking the test, or just in the license renewal line? Great question, Adam. That I don't have an answer to, but I will make sure to have. Oh, I look, and from the stage left, you're right, as you're watching the radio, my man Dalton Norwig walks in with his laptop, which means he has information for us.
I think I have the answer here. Okay. So according to BaldwinCountyAL.gov, my second favorite site,
sure,
behind MobileCountyAL.gov.
Both of them just awesome.
You have, looks like, three options in Baldwin County. One office in Bay Minette, which is about a block from 59. Also one in Fairhope and one in Foley. And
those are the ALEA offices.
That's correct. Those are the ALEA offices. So the Fairhope one, it says 1100 Fairhope Avenue at the courthouse, and Foley 201 East Section Avenue at their courthouse. So those are the three options there. It looks like there's also one in Robertsdale, but they don't mention the Robertsdale office for the star IDs. So I think those are the options. If you're on the Eastern Shore, I guess Fairhope would be the closest to you.
All right. So there you go. I mean, instant information.
There you go.
Thank you.
I hope it was correct.
Do you have your star ID?
I don't.
Of course
but
not.
I'm in the same boat as you. I've got a renewal December. Coming up this year.
Well, this one texter, one unnamed texter, told us that 6 months out, you can do it without paying the... We got to get somebody booked here soon. Really, it's not for the listening audience, Dalton. It's for you and I to figure
exactly
out what we're going to do with our ID.
See, I've had an expired ID. I want to lose 10, 15 more pounds before I go in and get a new picture.
That's true. I want to get some of the cool sculpting or whatever gets done here, and maybe have one of the makeup crews from the TV stations come by and give me that before I get my picture.
Yeah, before you get the picture. And it'll still come out the worst picture you've ever taken.
That's for sure. All right. We'll work on this going forward. Ed Joshua, bringing back memories. Talk about the driver's license test being that office at Brookley Field. Oh, yes. Yeah, Joshua said back in 88 or 89. I would have taken mine in probably 88. Yeah, probably 88. That would have been right. He said the test driver directed me to Birdsville, said make a complete stop. He said I did, and shots were fired. He said something like, okay, I'm going to need you to head back now. Joshua, did you get past even before you did all the stuff? Like, he just said, what, there were shots fired, and he said, head back now. Did he say, okay, that's good. You look good to me. You check off all your stuff here. You got, you're good. Welcome to the world of driving, Joshua. Those were, I don't know where they, I guess they do the test out of the ALEA office now and not out of Brookley Field, but those were the days. Old school. Thanks for bringing back that memory. All right, coming back next hour, AL1 Republican candidate joins us. By the way, we continue our series here, and Wes Lambert's going to join us this hour. You've had chances to hear from most of the candidates in this AL1 race. You heard from them during the debate, and you've heard from lots of them with in-studio interviews. We've got a fresh one coming up here in just a second with Wes Lambert, but these will all be on our podcast page, and you can go back and listen to past interviews, compare and contrast, and do all that before Super Tuesday. That's just 2 weeks away here in Alabama. Of course, in between, we've got Fat Tuesday, then Super Tuesday. This is just a regular Tuesday.